The Leslie Marshall Show, a true democracy in talk radio. Of, for, and by you, the people.
And now, a message from the President of the United States.
Hello, my fellow Americans. I've chosen to schedule this impromptu address at night because, quite frankly, every time I speak during the day, the stock market goes in the crapper. So sorry, Asian markets. You take the hit on this one. I come to you tonight in the midst of a very important election between two very qualified candidates, the hot lady and the Tiger Woods guy. Both candidates are heavily patriotized and display much characterization. And yes, I did have three Xanax and a silver bullet about a half hour ago. I'm out of here in a few months, so screw it. But before I leave, I wanted to help Sarah Palin and John McCain by giving them what every candidate wants most, a prime-time, heavily publicized network endorsement from George W. Bush. Hey, don't pinch yourself, John. You are awake. Now, I tried to do this several months ago, but somehow it kept getting pushed to a written press release or a
Saturday Night Live. I hope you've had a chance to watch it as I did yesterday. This is Mark Levine. I'm filling in for Sarah Palin. No, for Leslie Marshall, actually. I've been filling in here all week, and I'm really proud to be here. So there's so much to talk about. We've heard from, of course, George Bush and Saturday Night Live, and I wonder if people are going to miss him. Oh, it looks like we got more of the clip. Okay, let's go back to more of the clip. Go ahead.
My numbers on the rise. I thought it was time to give a proper, large-scale, much love to McCain and Palin. What? Really? Why didn't you tell me that, Jeff? I've just been told by my trusted aide, Jeff, that the country is actually in a horrible downward spiral. And that my approval numbers are lower than ever. That one's on me. 4 months ago, I declared the Oval Office a bummer-free zone, so... You know, let's bring on Senator McCain and Governor Palin.
So nice to meet you, Mr. President. I've seen you on TV. Yeah.
Where's McRage?
Well, you know, John McCain and I have been so busy traveling around this great country of ours, talking about change and energy independence and William Ayers and doing a little shopping.
Good.
Unfortunately, Senator McCain, upon hearing you wanted to give him a super public endorsement, cannot be found. He was last seen traveling on foot through the Adirondacks. But my husband, Todd, and two of his drinking buddies are in pursuit on snow machines.
Well, we'll smoke them out. George Bush always finds his man, save for one huge exception.
Yeah, we are going to get her done.
My God, you are folksy.
Thank you, Mr. President. I like to think I'm one part practiced folksy, one part sassy, and a little dash of high school bitchy.
For a while, I was trying to be folksy, but after a bit, it just came off douchey. All right, let me get into my endorsement for you as Vice President. As you know, America, the office of Vice President is the most important office in the land. The Vice President decides when we go to war, how we tax the citizens, and how we interpret the Constitution. The President can do nothing without checking with the Vice President. That is why Sarah Palin...
Actually, Mr. President, I don't want to go all Katie Couric on you, but I think it's actually the other way around. I think the Vice President reports to the President.
Really? That's not what Dick Cheney told me when he sat me down on the first day.
Well, we out Maverick the Maverick.
Good evening, my friends. Mr. President, always a pleasure.
Good to see you. Good to see you, John. Hey, let's get a photo of this. Let's get a photo of this. It'll really help your campaign out. Now, let me do this. I, George W. Bush, endorse John McCain and Sarah Palin with all my heart. John was there for me 90% of the time over the last 8 years. When you think of me, when you think of John McCain, think of me. George W. Bush. Think of this face. When you're in the voting booth, before you vote, picture this face. Right here. A vote for John McCain is a vote for George W. Bush. You're welcome. So, I want to be there for you, John, for the next 8 years.
The next 16 years.
Let's get a safety. I think I blinked on that last shot. Thumbs up, everybody. Most of all, I support them because live from New York,
it's Saturday Night!
Well, that, of course, is Saturday Night Live. If you missed that clip, you've now heard it. In the clip, of course, they show John McCain doing his best to avoid George Bush as much as possible. But it's kind of hard for John McCain. And it's interesting to me because I've heard from a lot of you all this week about the election. And what's fascinating to me is what I haven't heard is anybody who thinks John McCain is very different from George Bush. Now, he's been trying to make this argument that, you know, he said in the debate, hey, Barack Obama, if you wanted to run against George Bush, you should have done that 4 years ago. But what's fascinating to me is that virtually everyone in America who's opposed to George Bush is today voting for Barack Obama. And I guess that's why Obama's doing so well when George Bush has a 30% approval rating, less. In fact, it's gone down as low as 19 in one poll, the lowest in American history. I think we should be surprised that Obama's only winning by 5 to 10 to 15 points. But that still leaves a little bit of difference, right? Let's say that 25% of Americans approve of George Bush and 45% are going to vote for John McCain. That still leaves that 20% difference, that 1 in 5 Americans who doesn't like George Bush but still likes John McCain. And I have to admit, I have trouble understanding who those people are. And, Frank, if you're one of those people, I'd love for you to call in. 888-6-LESLIE, 888-653-7543. It's fascinating to me, though, that John McCain wants to run away from Bush so much. And because that Saturday Night Live episode, funny though it was, and of course it shows John McCain making faces and trying to get away and escape the endorsement by George Bush. Clearly he doesn't want that endorsement right now. But back when George Bush was high in the polls, well, let's face it, John McCain was a big fan. Let me play for you some clips that are not that long ago. One's 1 year old, one's 6 months old. Let me play them for you.
I think the president has led with great clarity, and I think he's done a great job leading the country, don't you all?
The president and I agree on most issues. There was a recent study that showed that I voted with the president over 90,
percent of the time higher than a lot of my even Republican colleagues.
The fact is that I have agreed with President Bush far more than I have disagreed. And on the transcendent issues, the most important issues of our day, I have been totally in agreement and support of President Bush.
So it's interesting. I mean, John McCain admits that on the transcendent issues of the day, the most important things, he's been in complete cahoots with Bush. I mean, not on campaign finance reform, but I don't think that is the biggest issue for Americans. He himself has said he votes with George Bush 90% of the time and a lot more than other Republicans. I mean, I thought that was another interesting thing that he'd said. You know, he actually was praising the fact that there were Republicans that were far out of tune than George Bush. Let me hear that little part again.
Don't you all? The president and I agree on most issues. There was a recent study that showed that I voted with the president over 90% of the time, higher than a lot of my even Republican colleagues.
The fact.
Higher than a lot of even my Republican colleagues. So we have, you know, and if you like George Bush, and many, it's funny because the people I've had people calling in all week. I've really had the honor and privilege of being here and of taking your calls. And I've gotten some liberals, I've gotten some conservatives, some Obama supporters, some McCain supporters. What's interesting, though, is that all the people that have supported John McCain were fans of George Bush. And that's okay. Like, you know, this is democracy here. Some people may love George Bush, think that he's done a terrific job on the economy. I think 5% of the Americans do think the economy is in good shape. I don't. Maybe they're doing very well, those 5%. Maybe they love Dick Cheney. You know, there are Americans that believe that the Constitution's provisions in the Bill of Rights are optional, that whether or not you should be able to search someone's private belongings, you don't need a warrant. The Constitution says you need a warrant. The president says you don't. The president says you don't. The president trumps the Constitution. And there are people in America that believe that. There are lots of people in America who support torture. There are lots of people in America who think that $1 trillion spent on the Iraq War was a good investment. So, you know, if you like the president, if you believe in privatizing Social Security, if you want to give more taxpayer money to oil companies, if you just believe that, oh, I don't know, creationism should be taught in schools and that science should be a subsidiary of religion in our public schools, there are lots of reasons to like George W. Bush, and I understand that people like that like John McCain for the same reasons. But what I find surprising is that with Bush's approval rating, as low as 19%, maybe as high as 30%, there's still 10% of Americans, 15, maybe even 20, who are supporting John McCain who don't think George Bush is doing a good job. And I don't really know who those people are, but if you want to call in, if you're one of those people, or you know one of those people, you can call in and let me know what you think. 888-6-LESLIE, 888-653-7543. We've got a lot going on in the next 3 hours. It's going to be you don't want to step away from your radio. I'm going to play for you a good part of the David Letterman interview. If you missed it with John McCain, this interview, I got to tell you, it's more interesting than the debates. It's more interesting than Saturday Night Live. It's a fascinating interview. I mean, Letterman presses him. He's got a plan to find bin Laden. What's the plan? What's the plan, John McCain? He also presses McCain on Palin. Does he really think Palin is the most qualified? And then, yes, they talk about all the negative stuff. They talk about William Ayers. They talk about Acorn. And Letterman raises some associations of John McCain's, which I think you'll find interesting because, let's face it, the Obama campaign hasn't raised this kind of stuff. And then going on to hours two and three, I'm going to have a teaching session. Yes, I am a graduate of Yale Law School. I'm going to be teaching Sarah Palin about the Constitution. You see, she still doesn't know what the vice president is supposed to do, and so I thought I'd let her know. So listen up, Sarah. You've got your training coming up over the next 3 hours. This is Mark Levine. Call in 888-6-LESLIE, 888-653-7543. Right back after this.
Life, liberty, and the pursuit of truth. The Leslie Marshall Show, 888-6-LESLIE.
Is your child disrespectful, defiant, or obnoxious? Does everything turn into an argument with your kid? I'm behavioral therapist James Lehman. I'll help you turn your child's behavior around right now with the Total Transformation.
After the Total Transformation, there's no more arguing, no more lecturing, no more back talking. Now when I ask him to do something, he does it.
We've learned verbiage from the Total Transformation Program, and it's almost like magic. If you say those words, they stop arguing.
Defiance, backtalking, lying, acting out in school, even problems with ADD and ADHD. The Total Transformation will help you solve even the worst behavior problems. I guarantee your child will listen to you again and you get peace and sanity back in your home.
Call now and get How to Turn Your Child's Attitude Around in 1 minute or less free with your order. 1-800-801-6378. 1-800-801-6378. Call now. 1-800-801-6378. 1-800-801-6378.
Real stories from real letters about Gold Bond Ultimate Softening Lotion. Julie, a sales rep from New York, writes,
"In this business, first impressions are everything. Rough, dry skin does not make a good impression.
Gold Bond Ultimate Softening Lotion for soft skin that looks great
and feels fantastic.
Seven essential moisturizers, vitamins A, C, and E, plus shea butter leave your skin healthy, smooth, and really soft.
Can your lotion do that?
Gold Bond Ultimate Softening Lotion.
This stuff really works."
With a change in season right around the corner, Ace is helping you save energy around your home. Now through Monday, buy compact fluorescent floodlight bulbs on sale for $4.99 each. For 2 years in a row, Ace has been ranked highest in customer satisfaction among home improvement stores by J.D. Power and Associates. For expert help and friendly advice, get to your neighborhood Ace, the helpful place. Sale prices good at participating Ace hardware stores while supplies last. See store for details. For J.D. Power and Associates award information, visit jdpower.com.
AM 1520.
Spend an evening with the most stirring and powerful blend of rock and classical music ever heard. Trans-Siberian Orchestra, live.
Saturday, December 6th, two shows, 3 p.m. and 8 p.m. at HSBC Arena.
Critics have called it strikingly original and breathtaking. You will call it sensational. Trans-Siberian Orchestra, live in a concert spectacular.
Saturday, December 6th, two shows, 3 p.m. and 8 p.m. at HSBC Arena. Reserve seats on sale now at HSBC Arena box office and through tickets.com via online. Charge by phone or tickets.com locations.
Don't miss Trans-Siberian Orchestra, live. Pick up the new CD, The Lost Christmas Eve, in stores now. Available at Target.
Produced by The Bowery Presents.
You can now listen and learn from the Dollar Doctors anytime and anywhere in the world. The Dollar Doctor shows are available wherever you can get on the internet. Just go to Sapperston.com and click on the Dollar Doctor radio broadcast link. You'll be taken to the site where you can listen live at 10 a.m. Eastern Time Saturday mornings or to their hundreds of archive shows anytime. So if you miss listening live to KB 1520 some Saturday, fear not. Willard and Peter await you anytime, anywhere in the world at Sapperston.com.
Chevy wants to talk to you about the air in your tires. Look at the guy in the lane next to you. See those saggy tires? According to fueleconomy.gov, properly inflated tires may improve your gas mileage by up to 3%. If everyone in the U.S. did this, we could save millions of gallons of fuel each year. So every 2008 Chevy car, half-ton truck, and SUV will come with a tire pressure monitor that automatically alerts you when pressure is low. Go to Chevy.com and learn more.
Back to the Leslie Marshall Show. This is Mark Levine. I've been filling in for Leslie Marshall all week. If you want to call in, the toll-free number is 888-6-LESLIE, 888-653-7543. As I said, we got a great show. We're going to go through some of that interview with David Letterman. And then later on, and you don't want to miss this, I'm going to teach the vice presidential nominee a little bit about the Constitution, since she really still has no idea what a vice president is supposed to do. Let's go first, though, to Troy in Albany. Troy, welcome to the show.
Hey, how you doing, Mark?
I'm doing good.
Good. Hey, I was wondering if you could take the time. I don't think that many people understand exactly how the laws and policies and rules are made. A lot of people assume that it was all George Bush's doing when, in fact, 90% of the policies and laws that get put in place are designed or come up with by the Congress and the Senate. It's not the president has very little power, and I think everybody kind of frowns on the president for things that have happened that were really beyond his control.
Well, I don't know that I agree with you, Troy. I mean, look, I used to work, I don't know if you know this, I used to work as a congressional attorney, so I know how it works on the inside. I worked on House Judiciary Committee, Homeland Security Committee, and the president has a good deal of power, and this particular president arrogated to himself more power probably than any other president in the past. One of the things he did, unfortunately, was he misled Congress. And then we had a Congress, at the time it was a Republican Congress until very, very recently, that refused to exercise oversight. So you're right that Congress has a role, but the Republican Congress, you know, until recently when it was a Democratic Congress, chose not to exercise oversight. I remember working in Congress, and the president would do things like, for example, the president set up a secret off-the-shelf organization called the Terrorist Threat Integration Center, and the purpose of that was to not inform the Department of Homeland Security about threats to America because he wanted to know them all, and he didn't want Congress to oversee it, and Congress just sort of said, okay. And they didn't oversee the questions of WMDs, and they didn't oversee the questions of firing the prosecutors. So when you have Congress decide to cede its role, to acquiesce in presidential power, the president can get away with a lot of things, and I think he did.
Well, I guess you were on the inside. I didn't see it that way. I also don't see that the economics that we're feeling now were really brought on by Bush. I mean, I don't know, you know, I haven't had a chance to research the numbers, but I know that the numbers after 12 years of Reagan and Bush, the economic numbers were going through the roof the day before Clinton got in office, the months before Clinton got in office.
Actually, that's not the case. You may remember the last major, you know, recession we've had one at the beginning of this Bush term, and we had one at the end of the last George Bush's term. I mean, at the heart of it, though, is a president like Bill Clinton, for example, who believed in budget surpluses, who believed that if you keep borrowing money from Saudi Arabia and China, eventually it's going to crash the economy. So Bill Clinton understood that, particularly in good times, you've got to pay some of this stuff back. And that was really one of the major differences. The other major difference, of course, was regulation. You had Bush, who opposed virtually any type of regulation. And what's fascinating to me is even Federal Reserve Chairman Alan Greenspan, who was treated like a god during the Bush years until just recently, admitted he was wrong to oppose the deregulation, to oppose the regulation of these credit swap derivatives that have messed up the economy.
Let me run something by you. Let's just say, for instance, in your own personal finances.
Okay.
Your own personal finances. Let's say for some reason your health insurance lapsed, and tomorrow you got a form of cancer, not terminal, but costly.
Sure, I'm going to have to cut you off because we're coming up on a hard break, but stick around. We'll continue after the break, and I'll invite other callers to join in as well. 888-6-LESLIE, 888-653-7543. Back right after this.
Leslie Marshall, the simple truth in a complicated world. 888-6-LESLIE.
Real psoriasis sufferers get real results from Dermarest.
This guy and I had been friends for a while, and I had been looking forward to him asking me out. He asked me out. I remember my arms were just disgusting looking. I felt like I had to cut it short. I just felt embarrassed.
Dermarest psoriasis provides complete relief, removing scales, letting healthy skin grow.
Had I known about Dermarest then, it would have been a completely different date. Dermarest has changed my life.
Feel your best and look your best with Dermarest.
So John's doctor told him it's time to get serious about his blood pressure, eat a healthy diet, exercise regularly, which I've been telling him to do for years, and take a dietary supplement called Amil BP every day.
The naturally derived ingredient in Amil BP has been clinically shown to help maintain healthy blood pressure. Amil BP is safe and has no side effects.
And it's so easy, he's actually doing it.
Maintain healthy blood pressure with Amil BP, available at Walgreens, CVS, and other retailers near you.
A new voice, a new choice, and 50,000 watts to back it up. The voice of the new majority, AM 1520, WWKB Buffalo.
If you owe the IRS, you can't make the problem go away without professional help. But with the help of Dan Pilla, you can get your problem solved.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been solving tax debt problems for 30 years, and I can help you too. We can stabilize IRS collection action and get your tax debt reduced, sometimes completely eliminated. And if you received a 1099 from a bank because of mortgage or other debt forgiveness, the vast majority of the time, I can show you how to completely erase it so you pay no taxes on what the IRS will consider to be taxable income. call us for a free consultation to discuss the many possibilities. Call 1-800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NOTAX. Or go to my website at taxhelponline.com.
Dan Pilla has been protecting taxpayers from the IRS for 3 decades, and he can help you. Call us today, 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
Are you paying too much for term life insurance? There is a tremendous price war among the major term life companies. Rates have dropped dramatically in the past few years. For example, a man age 45, non-tobacco user, issue preferred, $1 million of coverage is only $75 per month, level for the next 10 years. Or a man age 50, non-tobacco user, issue preferred, can obtain $500,000 in coverage for a monthly premium of only $113, guaranteed not to change for the next 20 years. That's right, guaranteed level rate for the next 20 years. If you're a smoker, there are great rates available for you as well. Term Busters is a company that specializes in term life insurance. If you're looking for new or replacement term life insurance, call today for a free no obligation quote at 1-800-862-TERM. That's 1-800-862-8376. You're probably paying more than you should. Call Term Busters at 1-800-862-TERM or visit their website, termbusters.com. Rates and availability vary by state, individual, and results of physical exam.
Hello, I'm John Cilio, America's leading speaker on identity theft and a former victim. Believe me, identity theft is a horrible form of personal violation. But cyber criminals don't care who you are. They use malicious software and tricks to go after everybody like you and me who bank and shop online. That's why you need ID Vault. ID Vault picks up where ordinary internet security leaves off to protect your usernames, passwords, and credit card numbers. This isn't a service that tells you you've been robbed after the fact. With ID Vault, it's virtually impossible to steal your online identity in the first place. ID Vault safely stores your usernames and passwords, then automatically signs you into your online accounts so your identity is invisible to hackers and spyware. ID Vault even checks the validity of websites to keep you from being tricked by imposters designed to steal your identity and your money. Take it from someone who knows. The safest place for your online identity is in ID Vault.
Get ID Vault at Best Buy and Costco. Visit IDVault.com for a $10 saving.
Welcome back to the Leslie Marshall Show. This is Mark Levine filling in for Leslie Marshall. I am an ex-congressional attorney, so I've got some idea of how the government works. I'm reporting live to you from the nation's capital, Washington, D.C. We've got Troy on the line. We're talking about, well, George Bush. Saturday Night Live reminded us that he is still president. And John McCain has reminded us that he voted with George Bush 90% of the time. So has George Bush done a good job? Well, interestingly, most Americans say no. Only about, the lowest I've seen is 19%. That's pretty low. The fact it's the lowest in American history, approve of George Bush and how he's handled his presidency. The highest I've seen in the last month is around 30, and yet some 45% of people support John McCain. So it's interesting to find who are that 15% that don't like the president but still like John McCain. I'm talking with Troy from Albany. Troy, I believe, likes both the president and John McCain. Am I right, Troy?
Yes, although I don't agree with everything that George Bush has done. I think George Bush is way overspent. I think one of his problems is that every time somebody asks him for money, he just doubles whatever it was to make people happy.
Well, yeah. Does it bother you John McCain supported that 90% of the time?
Well, you know, it does a little bit, but it bothers me worse that Barack Obama voted 96 times to increase taxes and on people with as low of an income as $49,000.
Of course, John McCain also voted some 90 times to increase taxes. You understand how it works. You have one proposal from the Democrats and one proposal from the Republicans, and all these big budget proposals increase somebody's taxes and decrease somebody else's taxes. So, yeah, Obama voted about 100 times to increase taxes if you include every budget resolution that raises, let's say it raises, the tariff on wooden arrows 10 cents. Well, then Obama voted to increase that, and then maybe McCain voted to increase this other tariff. I mean, those kinds of statistics, you understand, really aren't very meaningful, right?
I guess it depends on what you put into it and what you take out of it. I mean, you could twist or you could move statistics any direction you want.
Exactly, exactly. Let me ask you this. If you don't mind my asking, and you don't have to tell me if you mind, can you tell me whether you make more than $250,000 a year or not?
I gross more than $250,000.
Okay, all right. So you're one of the few that actually would be paying more taxes under Barack Obama, and that's certainly a fact. I'd be curious to know what you think about John McCain having said 8 years ago that he thinks that if you, you know, earn a little bit more, it's okay to pay a little bit more. He doesn't seem to feel that way now, but that's the way he did feel some 8 years ago.
Well, to be perfectly honest with you, John McCain was not my first pick. I would have rather had Rudy Giuliani or possibly Huckabee. I personally believe, I mean, if you want to get down to the brass tacks of things, I'm going with the lesser of two evils.
Okay.
And I feel that McCain is going to do less damage to the country than Obama would.
And is damage to the country defined as the country's economy or your personal, you know, the fact that you'll have to go back and pay a little bit more like you did in the Clinton years? Because it seems to me under the Clinton years, which is all that Obama wants to return tax policy to for people who make more than $250,000 of a year, we did very well. Not only did the rich do extremely well under Bill Clinton, but the middle class did extremely well, the poor did extremely well, and the government had a surplus. So okay. It's very interesting. That's really all Obama wants to return us to. Just because of your personal tax burden that's the problem?
No, which is the original direction that I was going before you took the break was if something sets you back financially, I don't care what it is, something sets you back financially, it could be anything. It doesn't get turned around tomorrow or the next day or the
that's
day
true.
After that. 30 days after Bill Clinton was in office, everybody was praising him for how great the economy was.
And well, I'll tell you what he did 30 days after he came into office. Do you know about this?
The greatest thing in the world, and then 30 days after Bush took office, everybody was blaming him for how crummy the economy was.
I'll tell you what happened, and then we got to go on a new caller. 60 days, actually less than 60 days after Bill Clinton was in office in March of 1993, he passed without a single Republican vote. I remember it very clearly because it was a 50-50 vote in the Senate, and Al Gore had to break the tie, and it passed in the House without a single Republican vote. He voted to do something that a politician is not supposed to do exactly what Obama has said he would do, to raise taxes only on fairly wealthy people. And at the time, the Wall Street Journal read an editorial saying, this will destroy the economy. If you raise taxes on rich people create jobs, there'll be no more jobs, we'll head into a big depression. And instead, we headed into the longest and largest economic expansion and period of wealth in American history. And I think what Bill Clinton knew, the same thing that Franklin Delano Roosevelt knew, was that middle-class people are the engines of the economy, not the super rich. The super rich, frankly, will spend whatever they're going to spend, whether they make $100 million or $99 million, whether they make $270,000 or $260,000. It's the people in the middle who are hurting who are the engines of the economy. But I want to thank you for your call, Troy, and go right to Glenn in Riverhead, New York. Glenn, welcome to the show.
Hi.
Hello.
First thing is that Troy said he makes over $250 gross. You don't pay taxes on your gross. He may
That's
not
true.
Be affected by
That's
Obama.
A good point. It's a good point.
The second point is you were talking about the economy, and one of the claims of the Bush administration was that they inherited a recession.
That's what they say.
I read the report that they used to base that on, and it's a report based on the last year of the Clinton administration, and it said that several important economic factors pointed to a downturn in the economy, and then there was a page turn. And on the next page it said, but it never developed.
Interesting. You know, I remember 2001 because I looked this up. I was in Congress at that time, and I was working as an attorney. And we were looking up some of these facts, and what we found out was that really it didn't hit until the middle of 2001. And I think it's largely due because Bush, when he came into office, reversed what Clinton did and did what Alan Greenspan told him, you know, suggested was a good idea. I thought it was crazy at the time. But he reduced taxes and caused a transfer of wealth from the poor to the rich, reverse Robin Hood. Literally, you took money out of middle-class people's pockets and put it in rich people's pockets, which is funny because when it happens the other direction, they call it socialism, but they don't seem to complain when it happens this way. And
it's a little double standard.
Well, it's a complete double standard. And that, I think, led to some difficult economic times. And then, of course, September 11th made it worse. But thank you for your call, Glenn. I appreciate it. I do. Before I get to the next caller, I want to play a clip that I found This is John McCain in October 2000. See if you can tell if he has a different point of view from the one he has today.
For 13 years, gets penalized in a huge tax bracket because he's a doctor.
I think it's to some degree because we feel, obviously, that wealthy people can afford more.
Are we getting closer and closer to, like, socialism and stuff?
Here's what I really believe, that when you are reach a certain level of comfort, there's nothing wrong with paying somewhat more.
When you reach a certain level of comfort, there's nothing wrong with paying somewhat more. Now, I agree with the John McCain of 2000. But I think it's ironic, well, ironic would not maybe be the right word. Let's say just say astonishing that this is the man running on, oh, you know, Joe the plumber. It's socialism to suggest that the rich should pay a little bit more. No one is suggesting that we go back to the rates of Franklin Delano Roosevelt over 90%, or the rates of Eisenhower over 70%, or the rates of Jack Kennedy over 50%. No one's suggesting we go over 40%. But at some point, all of this debt has to be paid back. And the question is not if it will be paid back, but who will pay it back. And John McCain is just going around, I don't know, I hate to use the word lying. Let's just say not telling the truth to the American people. He claims he's going to balance the budget in 4 years. Now, John McCain, if you told John McCain, John McCain's policy, he would laugh and he'd say that's ridiculous. And he'd say that person's not giving you any straight talk. How is it that you're going to cut taxes for the rich, leave taxes for the middle class alone, and at the same time reduce the budget deficit? He's going to cut spending? How are you going to cut spending? Obama will cut spending by bringing our troops home from Iraq, but McCain wants to keep them there for 100 years. That's really expensive. And what I find fascinating is no one seems to call John McCain on it. David Letterman tried, said, you know, you said you're going to balance the budget, but it, you know, he kind of escaped that question. I'm going to play for you a lot of that David Letterman interview and take more of your calls at 888-6-LESLIE, 888-653-7543 when we come back.
Leslie Marshall, real people, real life, real talk, 888-6-LESLIE.
Attention RV owners, you might want to pull your vehicle over because I'm about to blow your mind. Ready? GEICO now insures all types of RVs like motorized, sport utility, towable RVs, motorhomes, trailers and pop-ups. And if there was an RV that levitated and ran on fish and chips, they'd probably insure that too. So see how much money you could save with GEICO. Oi, where you headed anyway? I hope it's a water park. I love those.
Now GEICO offers insurance on all the stuff that moves you, including RVs. Call 1-800-947-AUTO or visit GEICO.com.
And now for the bonus round. An apple a day keeps the doctor away. What does a pear prevent?
Hard feelings.
Correct. If you multiply...
the square root of 19.
Correct. How many movies has Netflix delivered so far?
I know. Over 1 billion.
Correct.
Yes.
Netflix. Over 1 billion movies delivered so far. Zero late fees. Choose your movies online and have DVDs delivered to your door in about one business day. Start your free trial and get unlimited movie rentals. Netflix. See terms of use.
Is your child disrespectful, defiant, or obnoxious? Does everything turn into an argument with your kid? I'm behavioral therapist James Lehman. I'll help you turn your child's behavior around right now with the Total Transformation.
After the Total Transformation, there's no more arguing, no more lecturing, no more back-talking. Now when I ask him to do something, he does it.
We've learned verbiage from the Total Transformation Program, and it's almost like magic. If you say those words, they stop arguing.
Defiance, back-talking, lying, acting out in school, even problems with ADD and ADHD. The Total Transformation will help you solve even the worst behavior problems. I guarantee your child will listen to you again, and you get peace and sanity back in your home.
Call now and get How to Turn Your Child's Attitude Around in 1 minute or less free with your order. 1-800-801-6378. 1-800-801-6378. Call now. 1-800-801-6378. 1-800-801-6378.
Because the truth isn't always fair and balanced. The voice of the new majority. AM 1520.
Catches at the 5, walks into the house, and the Orange have scored again. At the 30, at the 20, 15, 10, 5, touchdown. He's free to the right side, 40, 30, down the numbers, 20, untouched, 15, 10, 5, touchdown, Orange.
Hi, this is the voice of the Syracuse Orange, Matt Park, inviting you to join Chris Gedney and me for another exciting season of Syracuse football right here on your home for the Orange.
Here's Syracuse football all season long on the home of the Orange, AM 1520.
For over 10 years, thousands of people have turned to OnStar for help every day.
OnStar, so do you need directions today?
I was hoping you could get me to someplace that I could eat a breakfast at.
Was there a particular type of restaurant you were looking for?
Not really. Just bacon and eggs.
Okay. I'll see what we have listed in our area.
OnStar turn-by-turn navigation is the simplest and smartest navigation system. You only have to push one button and tell the advisor what you're looking for, and she'll download directions to your car.
Does this area not have much around, or?
Yeah, it's pretty desolate.
Oh, okay, because I did find only one restaurant and 15 miles.
We went drive today out to the desert. Y'all are really convenient.
But we try to be convenient. I'll go ahead and set up that route for you. Thank you so much for using OnStar.
Start out going north on Route 10.
OnStar is standard for the first year on 11 Chevy models. Visit OnStar.com for coverage map, details, and system limitations. Requires ABS and directions and connections plan. Not available in certain areas.
How to squeeze $30 out of a light bulb. Step 1. Go to the Home Depot. Get new lower prices on CFL bulbs. Step 2. Grasp a new energy-saving CFL bulb and twist it into a light fixture. Use 75% less energy. Save $30 or more over the lifetime of the bulb. Step 3. Flip on the lights. Bask in the glow of your savings.
Our guaranteed low prices on CFL bulbs are now even lower at the Home Depot. You can do it. We can help. See store for details.
But you talked about on the debates balancing the budget. You said you know how to balance the budget, know how to save billions. And I think the previous debate, you said you knew how to get Osama bin Laden. Now, did I hear correctly? Am I right about those three things?
Exactly connected, but
no, I know they're not connected. But yeah. Did I? I mean, and if you do, let's go. Let's do these things.
Right.
Well, John McCain's never quite said how he's going to balance the budget or how he's going to catch Osama bin Laden. I'll be playing more of that Letterman interview, and you'll hear how he. Well, he can't really tell us how he's going to capture Osama bin Laden, nor can he tell us how he's going to cut the budget. McCain promises, crazily, that we're going to have a balanced budget in 4 years. Part of the way he's going to do it, he says, he's going to have a spending freeze. We're not going to spend any more money. He's going to use the hatchet, as they say, not the scalpel. He's going to make sure that, you don't get any more Medicare, you don't get any more Social Security. I don't know what the spending freeze is. I mean, maybe we cut our libraries, but if we have a spending freeze, even if there's a freeze, and he's not going to raise anybody's taxes, I mean, this is what he says, right? How is he going to cut back on this huge deficit, particularly when I don't think he's suggesting a spending freeze on the war in Iraq? He's just not telling us what he's going to cut. Now, he does plan to increase taxes on your health care benefits, so he'll give you a credit, but if you have more than $5,000 in health care benefits, as many people do from their employer, he's going to tax that. So he may increase middle-class people's taxes in that way. It's just not very clear. Let me go to Russ in Buffalo. Russ, welcome to the show.
Hey, Mark.
Hello.
I have to shift gears a little bit here.
Okay.
I want to tell you the mindset of these banks that made all these risky loans. Did you watch much TV? Because if you watch TV about maybe right before the Bear Stearns bankruptcy, they had these Ditech commercials on.
Oh, I remember those. Yeah, a loan. You need nothing down.
The guy on the lawnmower, he couldn't barely make his payments on his credit cards because
he owed
so much on his credit card.
Right, but we'll give you a free house.
They targeted him.
That's right. And you know why they did, Russ?
At the end, they said, somebody please, he said, somebody please help me.
Do you know why they targeted him, Russ?
They helped themselves to his house.
And Russ, do you know why they targeted him?
Because he probably wasn't a good manager of his money.
Yeah, I mean, the reason the banks did this is because they got money not for making good investments. In terms of the bank, a good investment would be someone who's going to pay back their mortgage. They got money for every transaction they did. See, the
That's
bank
right.
loan officers rewarded not for finding a good customer, but for finding any customer. And then they would take it to the bank, and the bank president
would... And they had no stake in the deal. They didn't
Well, that's exactly right. They had no stake in the deal because they would sell it to people like Bear Stearns and Lehman Brothers and AIG.
And that's the money that they loaned to the people.
That's right. And they would package it all in these securities, and then you'd have credit agencies who said these securities were AAA, the highest possible rating. But the credit agencies were paid not for making good decisions on credit, but because they were paid by the very same people, Lehman Brothers, Goldman Sachs, Bear Stearns, that asked them to determine whether their value was worth. So it's kind of like a guy who takes, a piece of jewelry to you and says, how much do you think it's worth? And if you tell me it's worth a high number, I'll give you $1,000. You tell me it's worth a low number, I'll give you $10. And I say, okay, it's worth $1,000. He says, thank you. And I've just made $1,000. You see,
yeah.
And they weren't regulated by the government. The credit agencies weren't regulated by the government. These credit derivative swaps weren't regulated by the government.
Where all the money went is the equity these people had in their homes, because they lost them because they couldn't make the second mortgage or whatever it was.
But the thing is that the mortgage crisis is really just the catalyst. If you do a scientific experiment, a catalyst is a tiny thing that disrupts a much larger thing. It would be like a match thrown in a barrel of gasoline. Uh-huh. If you ask what caused the explosion, of a match thrown in a barrel of gasoline, you'd be kind of hard-pressed to blame the match. I mean, you could blame the match. You could say it's the match's fault that the barrel exploded. But I actually think the fact that the barrel was full of gasoline is a bigger problem. The subprime mortgage crisis is just the match. The barrel of gasoline is this huge market in these credit derivative swaps that was unregulated. The same thing that Federal Reserve Chairman Alan Greenspan said just yesterday, oops, I made a mistake. I thought they could regulate themselves. I thought these banks would be concerned about the fact that they would go bankrupt if they made a bad decision. What Greenspan didn't realize, although he should have, he's a very smart man, is that when you're paid as a bank president, when you succeed and take risks, and you're also paid as a bank president when you fail through golden parachutes, you don't give a damn whether your bank succeeds or not. You don't care what happens to your shareholders. You get paid either way. Ironically, it's by ending capitalism. And when I think of capitalism, I think of, you work hard, you do a good job, and you get paid, you do a lousy job, and you lose money. It's by ending that idea that you get punished for making bad decisions and the deregulation of all these things. That's the gasoline. And the subprime mortgages, it's just the match.
Am I still on?
You're still on. Go ahead.
Okay. I think that we got to do something about this. It was a scheme. Somehow somebody figured out how to do it. And it was perpetrated somewhere from high up, I think.
Well, it's not just one person, but it was a lot of people making lot of money, including
scheme,
Treasury
I mean.
Secretary
the,
Hank
the
Paulson.
The deregulation saying that
I can tell you about that.
Mortgages and sell them.
Yeah, no, I can tell you about that because, frankly, Alan Greenspan was one of the main ones behind it. He wasn't the only one. The Bush administration did not support regulation.
Well, they're ones responsible then.
Well, I think they are. In fact, in some of the latter years of the Clinton administration, they could have done some. These things started about 1999 or 2000. Now maybe they could have nipped it in the bud on the Clinton administration, but they grew big time under George Bush. And one of the things that's really interesting is my favorite congressman in all of Congress is probably Henry Waxman, the chairman of the House Oversight Committee. And Congressman Waxman asked these credit agencies, actually required them, subpoenaed them, demanded documents from them relating to this. And there's a famous email that was just disclosed yesterday between these people and the credit agencies. And they said, when this house of cards collapses, I hope we're gone and old and out of here.
Yeah,
smiley face
or something.
with one of those smiley faces. So, it's not like people didn't know. I think we all knew there was a housing bubble, but people were still profiting from it. And the whole irony of this whole thing where they're calling Obama's a socialist is that when you have government regulation, when you have that kind of control, then it protects all of us. I mean, Ronald Reagan famously said that the most scary 6 or 8 words in the English language are, I'm from the government, I'm here to help you. And I got to tell you, the government does some things very wrong, but they also do some things very right. And one of the things they do right is they watch when you have a lot of people being very greedy and taking a lot of money. Theodore Roosevelt, every now and then, John McCain says,
Mark.
Yeah, let me just finish, compares himself to Teddy Roosevelt. Teddy Roosevelt was a Republican. But he was also a trust buster. He very much recognized the problem of concentrated wealth. And it's not that people can't have a lot of money, but when they do, you have to make sure they don't control the entire nation's economy. Go ahead, Russ.
Okay. I watched a hearing the other day, yesterday, I think it was, and these things. And Tony Snow was testifying, and Alan Greenspan,
yeah.
And there was another guy. I can't remember his name. But anyhow...
It was the guy from the credit agencies, I think.
Not Tony Snow. It was the other Snow.
Okay.
And he said that... oh, man, don't go out of my head now. He said that nobody could see what was coming. Nobody could see it because they had a little piece of the picture, they had a little piece of the picture, they had a little piece.
Right.
This one had
Everyone
this,
was
this
profiting
this,
from
this
it.
This one had that. And the point is that didn't the companies know?
Of course
themselves?
They knew. Of course they knew, but you understand, companies aren't people.
Couldn't they tell the government that something's not going right here?
Here's the thing. People presume wrongly. People think of companies as people. We talk about them as people. We say, you know, McDonald's did this and Exxon did that, and we think of them as human beings. In fact, we've even got a law in the United States that I think is a very bad law.
I'm talking about banks.
No, I understand, but what I'm saying is this. There's even a law in the Constitution, which I don't agree with, that people who've said that the 14th Amendment applies to corporations. What that means is there are people that say that when the Constitution gives rights to every person, that a corporation is a person. Well, a corporation is not a person. A corporation is a fiction. It is
a
legal fiction. It exists solely because of the law. And what people forget is that we have people running corporations, and they're the people who profit or don't profit. So, you know, you have bank presidents, and if their company falls apart, what do they care? They get paid no matter what. Michael Eisner ran Disney into the ground. It lost 40% of its value, and he still walked away with some $200 million. So corporations are not people. And as soon as we recognize that corporations are legal entities, they're given legal rights, and we can regulate them just like any other legal entities, that doesn't mean that we end capitalism, but it means that we protect all of us from an organization that, let's face it, doesn't exist. We protect ourselves from the rich individuals who run it. 888-6-LESLIE, 888-653-7543. Coming up, the rest of David Letterman's interview with John McCain.